Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, Things Will Work Out.
Look at somebody and say the glory. Come on, say the glory. Listen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, Solomon completed the rebuilding of the temple. And in verse 2, he says he assembled all the elders and the leaders together, and they restored the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, back in the temple. Let me help you out. They put God's presence back in the church. Somebody just caught it. Because sometimes the church becomes everything but the presence of God. It becomes a community center, advocate center, and we do all kind of wonderful things but the presence of God. But they restored the presence of God back in the temple. In verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 says, and when the glory filled the temple, the priests couldn't even preach. The spirit broke us. Something happens. Look at somebody and say, something happens when the glory filled this place. The glory, Tommy Tenney calls it the weighted presence of God. The kabod, Hebrew word kabod, means sit on you. Destroy every yoke you brought in church. Every burden you woke up with this morning, when you walk in here, the glory of God has broken up every yoke and every burden. Come on, Regina. Come on, team, and worship all the
soul
glory.
Arise.
Invite the glory.
We want you to
the glory. The weighted presence of God. Now, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength. You are the kabod, the Hebrew word, the weighted glory of God that sits on us and destroys every yoke and every burden the enemy brings our way. We say thank you, for the yoke has already been destroyed. It is in the name of Jesus we pray and give thanks. And those who love the Lord, help me say amen. 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 Clap those hands, can you? There is a word from the Lord this morning. As we enter into the next three messages that God has given me. And these messages are the prequel to what we're going to be talking about in September on Tuesday nights. You don't want to miss this. I've been in prayer with the Lord. We're starting a midweek series called Emotional Transparency and Healing. And God spoke to me and says, before you get there, I need you to share these three messages as it leads up to that. Because I don't know about you, but all of us at times in our lives need emotional healing. Amen. Look at somebody and say, that's you too. Okay. Yeah, even bougie people need to be emotionally healed sometime. Amen. And so God asked that I share these next messages as it leads up to what God is going to do. Our text is found in Romans 8:28. It is one of my absolute favorite. You hear me say that every week. But this one, there's some precedent on that because I preached my first sermon from this text at age 22 in that little church next door. My first message that God gave me was from this text, Romans 8:28, the New King James Version. And we know. I can stop right there and just give the benediction. Look at somebody and say, and we know. And if you don't know, you ought to know. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And the church said amen. Amen. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you from the subject, things will work out. Can you help me encourage someone as you take your seat? Let's look at somebody and say, things will work out. Now look on the other side. Say, the devil is a liar. Things will work out. Yes, they will. Somebody say yes. In fact, things are already working. You don't see it yet, but it is already in the process of being worked out. Listen, perhaps at some point in all of our lives, we have heard these words. The words, things will work out. Some people say, well, those are just words people just throw at you, you know, just to give you some sense of fake compassion or fake I am with you on this, but they really don't mean it. Well, I'm here to say that these are encouraging words for those of us who at times in our lives have felt a sense of anxiety or stress over all the stuff. Somebody say stuff. Some of y'all got things, but some of us just got stuff. Stuff in our lives that we have to deal with. Those who feel as if they are on the verge of just giving up. And I'm here to tell you, don't you look down or judge anybody. These are not weak people. These are just ordinary people who find themselves going through difficult times. And yesterday, we had the wonderful occasion to have a family event honoring our living aunts on my mom's side of the family. And it was so touching. But I'm here to tell you, Mother Ellen Lumpkin, that you touch me. Mother Ellen Lumpkin, who is my dear aunt, the wife of the late Deacon Lord Lumpkin, shared a powerful testimony. And in that event, she said, I was so close to giving up. She said, I was so close to saying, Lord, I just don't want to live again. I've lost the love of my life, someone I've been with since high school, and they are no longer here. I'm here to tell you, we all go through valley experiences. But she says, but my family and my faith, whew, kept me grounded. Thank you, Mother Lumpkin. Thank you. The truth of the matter is most of us have been there. Can we just be honest? That's why the September series on Tuesday is not only emotional healing, but emotional transparency. Most of us have been right there. Times perhaps in our lives in which we struggled just to get out of the bed in the morning. I don't care how deep you are. I don't care how holy you think you are, how many scriptures you have, what title is associated with your name. We all have been to a point in our lives, which we were emotionally challenged, which our backs were against the wall, in which we felt as if, Lord, if you don't help me, you don't step in, I don't know how I am going to make it. Can we just keep it real? Over the last several months, there are a whole lot of things that have been happening in this church family and your families and others. And God has said to me that you've got to be grounded and still be grateful no matter what has transpired in your life. So I need y'all to help me and look at somebody and declare, I am still grateful. See, some folk are only grateful when things go their way, but there are some of us who take the enemy's best shots. We take whatever the enemy throws our way, and we are still grateful. We all have been there. Anxiety and stress, they are real. I'm here to tell you, they are real. And stop just waving people off, saying, get over it. You don't tell people to get over it with heart disease and with cancer and diabetes. Amen. There are people who are going through emotional difficulties in their life. And anxiety and stress can be very detrimental to our minds, our bodies, and yes, even our souls. Listen, perhaps we all have seen people become weak, sick, depressed, and unfortunately even pass away. God bless our dear sister Lucille Gregg Thomas, because of anxiety and stress. Look at somebody and say, it's real. It is a real thing. And so for you to just treat it flippantly or just casually or lightly is not fair to the person who's going through something. Amen. What I found out about selfish people is that it only becomes a problem when they go through it. Somebody else is going through, oh, you can get over that. But until it hits your family, until you go through it, it's somebody else's problem. But it is real. God has said to me over the next several weeks, I need you to take this time to increase the faith and encourage somebody that they can make it. Because as people of faith, it is important that we understand that no matter how difficult things may be in our lives, no matter how hard the struggle is in our lives, no matter how deep the hole seems to be in our lives, it's going to work out for our good. Listen, I'm not just saying things because I want to get some positive response from you. I am quoting the scripture, as you will see in this message. I sincerely believe that God knows what he's doing. And as the old church said, he don't put any more on us than what we're able to bear. Things will work out. One of my favorite authors and pastors, you've heard me quote him many times, Pastor Rick Warren, the founder of Saddleback Church, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. Pastor Rick Warren is quoted as saying, the more you pray, the less you panic. And the more you worship, the less you worry. May I try that again? In fact, you need to help me tell somebody, if you pray, don't panic. If you worship, don't worry. You need to take all your burdens and leave them to the Lord and watch the. It doesn't mean that you don't go through anything. It just means that we take our problems to the Lord and we sincerely believe that He is a way maker. It's not just an expression every week, but He is a heart fixer. We sincerely believe that God can turn our situation around. I just want to make sure I am in the right place. I'm going to take just a 20-minute observation or praise opportunity. And you think of things that you've gone through that you could not have made it without God being on your side. Now, if that doesn't apply to you, you sit down. You don't worry about it. But is there anybody who has a Psalms 124 testimony? If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? Oh, come on, you've got 20 more seconds to tell God, I thank you, Lord. The only reason I made it, only reason I am here, is that God is on my side. If you pray, don't panic. If you worship, don't worry. You may go through something, but you trust in the God you serve. You know that the God you serve shall do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. We know the God we serve, when the enemy comes in like a flood, He lifts a standard against our enemies. We know this, that weeping may endure for a night, but something is coming in the morning. Ooh, look at somebody and say, I know what's coming in the morning. I need you to encourage somebody and say, joy cometh in the morning. You don't have to wait for the morning to give God a praise. Is there anybody know how to give God a praise at midnight for what is coming in the morning? You owe God a praise because joy cometh. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Be encouraged. Know that we serve a God who will make things right in our lives. Let us turn to this text. I want to spend the next few moments before we transition to our communion service for this text. This is an incredible text. Paul is the author of the book of Romans, the epistle to the Romans, or the letter written to the Roman church. He writes this iconic epistle to the church or to the saints or the believers in Rome. He writes this at a particular time in their lives, somewhere around AD 57 or 58. It is important because it precedes Nero and all of his persecution. I'll deal with that in a moment to set the context of what Rome was during the first century. But unlike many of the churches that Paul wrote to, this church was somewhat different because Paul was not involved in the formation or the founding of this particular church. In fact, prior to writing this epistle, Paul had not yet even visited the church in Rome. So he sends this letter to the Roman believers to provide for them a concise, compelling summary of the Gospels. Paul knew that they needed an explanation, so he shares an incredible explanation of what this new thing called Christianity was all about. This first century, as Josephus the historian calls it, this first century phenomenon known as the Christian faith. And Paul writes to a group of people that live in an area and at a time that was critically important for you to understand why he wrote what he wrote. Rome at the time was one of the world's most important and influential cities. I am a student of first century history. I love first century history. I love even more first century Roman history. Rome serves as the center of the world economic and political power. Rome practiced polytheism at that time. In other words, there were many gods that they worshiped. They even transitioned to imperialism, in which they worshiped the emperors. Rome was powerful. It was known as the powerhouse of the region. The arena was there. Rome was the center of entertainment. It was the center of political power. And Senator Overton, just from the politics of it, Rome is worth studying, for democracy was founded on some of the principles of early Roman history. And so Rome was it. People in Rome, however, were a tale of two cities. There were the ultra rich people, there were the poor people, three categories, and then there were slaves. The rich people all had slaves. Slaves were people who were kept captive after wars, and they would bring them back and they would enslave them, or they would rent them out, not like the slavery we know in America, but they would rent them out more as indentured servants to high-priced, bougie, rich Roman people. They would draw their bath water for them. They would go get their drinking water for them. They really had it made. Then there were ordinary people who just tried to live one day at a time. And so first century Christianity is introduced in an area where there were many religions, many false gods. There were all kind of Epicurean theorists. Talked about that the other day. Epicurean believed eat, drink, and be merry today, for tomorrow we die. They catered to the flesh. I'm going somewhere. They catered to the flesh. They were more concerned with their appearance than their commitment. They were more concerned with how they look than how they live. If I didn't know better, I would think that Rome has found itself in 2026 current society. I'm glad they didn't have social media, or they would have been all over the place with selfies and pictures and look what I'm eating, look what I'm doing. I just came back off a cruise. I went on a vacation. I went to the mountains. I have this. Look at my new car or my new chariot, whatever it was. They were full of themselves. Preach, Pastor Jackson. And so God intentionally needed a letter or an epistle to be sent to them by Paul to highlight what the Christian faith was all about. So for the next few moments, allow me, before we get to the exact text, is to share with you some of the highlights of the book of Romans, which begins in chapter 1 and verses 1, 2, and 3. And in those three verses in the first chapter, Paul uses the word good news three times. Why? Because he knew that there were some people there struggling. There were some people there who were living as slaves and as indentured servants, and people there who didn't have much. They didn't have many reasons to celebrate. But Paul says, I stopped by to tell you that I have some good news. Somebody shout good news. Is there anybody who still know that the gospel has good news? I know we're living in a time of great, almost on the verge of a recession, and the economy is struggling, and gas is $5, and all kind of things are going on. But I've got some good news. Jesus still saves. I've got some good news that Jesus is still the master of my fate. Is there anybody woke up this morning and say, I've got some good news that God woke me up this morning, and by his mercy and grace, I am still here? Who am I preaching to? Not everybody, but only the folk who can help me for 10 seconds celebrate good news. Look at your neighbor and say, good news. I'm sick of bad news. I'm sick of bad news. In fact, I may get in trouble, Overture, but after I see the weather on TV, I cut it off. I'm sick of the news on TV. I'm sick of reading the news on the paper. I'm sick of hearing all the bad news. I need to hear some good news. Well, I have some good news for you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's some good news for you. From the utmost, Jesus saves. I've got good news. He's still a healer. I have good news. He's still a heart fixer. I've got good news. He still makes a way out of no way. I've got good news. I was young and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed to beg bread. You've got 20 seconds to give God your best praise for some good news. Good news, good news. Look at somebody, say good news. If you listen to the enemy will try to steal your joy. Enemy will try to tell you there is no reason to celebrate. But the devil is a liar. If there's breath in your body, that's good news. Amen, somebody. If you can breathe, for the psalmist had a praise test. And Elder Regina, the praise test was real simple. Let everything that have praise, didn't have a rhythm, didn't say if you can clap, didn't say if you can dance, but let everything that have, oh, come on, Holy Ghost. If you can breathe, you ought to praise God. If there's breath in your body, you ought to praise God. If you haven't stood up one time this morning, you owe God one good. Throw your head back, open your mouth, and Shabbat the Lord your. Good news. Good news. Oh, let me preach this. Let me preach this. My time is gone. Oh, let me preach this. I forgot. I thought I was in the Church of God in Christ church. You can preach an hour and a half, Church of God in Christ. I forgot I was at Bible Way. Okay, amen. Romans 1 and 17. The New King James Version. Paul says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Look at what he writes in that first chapter in the 17th verse. The just shall live by faith. Look at somebody and say, I don't have to see it. I don't have to touch it. All I need is faith to believe. I can praise God over nothing but a promise. I can get happy over nothing but a promise, because the just shall live by faith. Paul goes on in chapter 5 and verse 8 of the book of Romans to write these words. But God demonstrates his love towards us. In that while, and he wrote this for folk who thought that you can earn Christianity, because all of the polytheistical religious orders of that day had some sense of earning their place. And Paul wanted you to know, I don't care how rich you are, how bougie you may be, I don't care how much money you have, you can't earn this. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Anybody know that Christ died for us while we didn't have anything? Someone ought to give God a hand of praise for being a good God, that when you were not even worthy, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 8. In the first verse of chapter 8, Paul writes these words. Mother Jackson, you would appreciate this. This used to be one of your favorite songs in the old days when we had testimony service. My mom used to sing a song. I didn't know what it meant then. There is now no condemnation. She says, I have no condemnation in my heart. Well, there's a word for that. Paul writes, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Put a pin there and look at somebody and say, stop judging me, okay? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul wanted this fleshless society to know that if you live for God, you can't live according to your flesh, because your flesh is a mess. Your flesh has gotten you in a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of you married somebody because of your flesh. A whole lot of you took a move because of your flesh, and your flesh let you down. But how many of you know that when the flesh lets you down, the Spirit knows how to keep making a way out of nowhere? When the flesh says one thing, the Spirit says another thing. And we don't live by how we feel. We live by what we know. We live by who God is, because sometimes you don't feel like it, but God is still good all the time. Then look at what he writes in verse 18. Verse 18, Romans chapter 8, New King James Version. Paul goes on to write these most iconic and powerful words. For I consider, this is for any and everybody who's ever suffered a little bit. Anyone in here ever suffered some? And sometimes you wonder, Lord, what are you taking me through? Look at verse 18 of chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with, oh, here is that word again, the glory which shall be revealed. In other words, no matter what you're going through, God's going to get some glory out of this. Somebody, who am I preaching to? Is there anybody know that I'm going through something, Pastor Jackson? But what I'm going through is no comparison to what God has in store for me. For it was good that I was afflicted, because God taught me something about his presence. I know who I'm preaching to now. Somebody in here has got a testimony that God's glory is worth everything I've ever gone through. Let me try this side of the church. Is there anybody in here? No, everything I've ever gone through is worth it when I get God's glory in my life. Clap those hands and tell him, what about me? Somebody say, Lord, I thank you for your glory. I had a hard time, but it's worth it. Woo! Tough, but it's worth it. Then he gets to verse 28. Woo! He gets to verse 28. The iconic theological, homiletical scripture in the book of Romans. Romans 8, 28. Paul writes these most inspiring words, perhaps one of the greatest scriptures in all of the New Testament. And Paul writes these words, says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, I've got three interesting key insights taken directly from this text that I want to share with you. I need you to help me out, because we're going to do this a little different. These insights are direct words from the text. But before you get there, let me share with you how the other translations puts it. The New Living Translation says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good. Look at somebody, say, God causes it to work together for good. Amplified Bible say, and we know with great confidence that God is deeply concerned about us. Put a pin there and tell your neighbor God cares about you. And God causes all things to work together as a plan for good. Anybody know that God knows what he's doing? Can I get a living witness? Say, neighbor, I don't know what you're going through, but I know the God that I serve. Anybody know that you serve a good God? I just need a handful of witnesses. Somebody in here that said, Pastor Jackson, God has brought me from a mighty long ways. Y'all got 20 seconds before I get to the insight to give God one more. Stand to your feet, clap your hand. You didn't come to church to sit down. You came to church. Can I preach? Somebody said, y'all sure stand up a whole lot at that church. We don't stand up as much as they do at William Bryce, a Bulldog Stadium, a Benedict College Stadium. When your team wins, I've got news for you. My team is leading, and we have already. Don't y'all make me preach up in here this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, William Bryce cheer when they're winning. But my team wins all the time. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you've already won. You've already won. Throw your hands in the air like you know you've already won. The word fans, Dr. Mack, is derived from the word fanatical, which means I cheer for my team, whether they win or lose, Dallas Cowboy fans. Y'all wear those ugly uniforms, whether they win or lose, because you are fans. Well, let me preach to this side of the church. But how many of you know that I'm on Team Jesus? Y'all got 10 seconds to leap one time, say, we've already won.
I know somebody said, please pick on somebody other than the Cowboys this year. I'm trying to, don't worry, I'm going to find another team to pick on this year. Three key insights lifted directly from the text. Three key words. First one is this, in, woo, we know. Okay, somebody say, and we know something about knowing what you know. Something embedded in the Amplified Bible is talks about confidence. And we know we must have confidence in God that he is able to work things out in our lives, no matter how difficult they may be. Listen, we must believe that there is, try that one more time. We must believe that there is nothing, say it like you mean it, nothing. Shake your head like you're indignant about it. There is nothing too hard for God to do. If there's a problem, he can fix it. If there's an issue, he can solve it. If there's an illness, he can heal it. Nothing too hard for God to do. Second key insight and observation taken directly from the text says, all things work together. And here's the key word, for good. God has never promised that everything in our lives will be good. Hear me. The text promised that it will work out for our good. There are things that we go through that are uncomfortable and painful, which are not necessarily good to us, but actually end up being good. Come on and testify, Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God intended it for my good. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but is there anybody, your enemies thought they set you up, but what they did not know was that they were setting you up for something better in your life. Somebody ought to give God a praise for bad things that ended up for your good. All things work together for good. There are some good things that happened to me that were not good experiences. Ah, can I preach? You've had some rough experiences that ended up being good for you. And we've got to learn how to celebrate the process of what God is doing while he's doing it. And here's the third and the final one, and we're done. There is a qualifier. Look at somebody and say, there is a qualifier. I don't want you to leave here and just say, Pastor, say everything I do is going to turn out good. There is a. Don't sleep on number three. There is a qualifier. That verse was not intended for everybody. Because he says, for those who love God. Deacon Jimmy Taylor, you, my good friend, we know that there's a qualifier. You can't do everything you want to do. Have no relationship with God, people out there. And think everything you do will work out for your good. Pastor Jackson says it's going to work out for my good. Tell your neighbor there's a qualifier. Ooh, can I preach this? Elder Sarah, they need to know there's a qualifier. To those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose or his plan for our life. Jeremiah 29 and 11 tells us that God has a plan for our life. Things just don't happen. God causes them to happen. And you've got to walk upright before the Lord. You've got to say, Lord, I accept your purpose for my life. Some of you are wondering why things are not working out in your life, because you're not living according to God's purpose. Ooh. God has a purpose for your life. Nothing is more miserable than somebody's trying to live outside of God's purpose for their life. You see other people doing it and enjoying it, and you cannot enjoy it because it is outside of your purpose that God has for your life. If we love God, stand to your feet all over this place. We're done. If you love God, and if you are obedient to his plan and his purpose for our lives, then things will work out. Look at someone and say, if you love God, if you love God, I didn't say you love him, if you love God. There's a difference between saying I love somebody and loving them. If you love God and you live your life according to God's purpose, not perfect, walking in God's perfect God's purpose does not mean perfection. It just means intentional. But I just want to do my best every day to do what you've called me to do. And if you do that, then I'm here to tell you things are going to get better in your life. Things are going to work out for your good. Some of us are going to look back over our worst experiences, and we're going to testify that, Lord, you used that to make me better. I needed that. I needed that struggle. I needed those hardships. I needed to go through what I went through because I am a better person because of that. Look at somebody in the last time and say, neighbor, things will work out if you love God, if you are called according to his purpose and his plan. Are you living according to God's purpose? Are you walking in God's plans for your life? If you are, then you can say, Lord, I trust you. Because things are going to get better. Ooh, he's working it out. Tell somebody he's working it out. Listen, the altar is now open. Leave your seat and walk down these aisles and stand. Somebody said it, and I believe it. Not only is he working it out, but it is already, God has already worked it out on your behalf. Our dear friend, Brother John Lakin, wrote this song that I like so much. It's called The Promise. I need you to look at somebody and say, there's a promise with your names on it. What is that promise, Pastor Jackson? It is things are going to get better. Don't be discouraged of how things may seem. God gave me a promise if I just believe. Things are going to get better. Whew. I make it personal and put your hands right here and say, better for me. Come on, team, right now. Right now. Somebody ought to tell them things. Things are.
Don't be discouraged by how things seem.
God gave me.
God gave me a promise if I just believe.
Ooh,
things are going to get better.
Hey, coach, good to see you, my friend. Come on, everybody.
Things are going to get better.
It's rough right now, but it's going to get better.
Things are going to get better. Don't be discouraged by how things seem.
For God gave me him.
God gave me. Ooh,
thank you, team. One more time from the top. Take it from the top. Things are going to get better. God told me somebody needs to hear these words.
Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better.
You've got to have faith to say it before you see it. Say it before you see it. I'm here to tell you that God.
God gave me a promise if I just believe. Things are going to get better, better for me.
Better? Look at somebody and say better.
Better.
Where are all of my faith walkers? Come on, somebody, tell
me.
Somebody declare. One more time. And we know. And we know. I want to leave you with this question. What do you know about God? And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Ooh. Doesn't matter what it is, what you're going through. God is using it for your good. Close your eyes right now. Perhaps there's someone here under the sound of my voice. Life has not been easy. In fact, there is one spirit that you've been dealing with that told you to give up, told you that it doesn't matter. But God sent you here this morning for a reason. For you to hear the word that, and we know that things will work out. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Encourage somebody standing next to you and say, it's going to be all right. I don't need to know what your problem is, but I came to be an encourager to you and say, it's going to be all right. You have to trust in the God you know. Ooh, I know that God is a deliverer. And I know that things may not be good to me, but it would end up being good for me. Ooh, for me. Look at somebody and say, for me. Close those eyes. But it begins with a relationship. The words "and we know" are in there for a reason. And the only way possible you can declare this is that you have to have a relationship with God. Paul says we know something about God. You don't have a relationship with God, you keep going around in circles after circles after circles, and you keep asking yourself, when will it ever get better? Whew. But when you have a relationship with God, you have the faith to believe, I may not know exactly when, but I know that it will. Maybe say that again. I may not know exactly when, Lord, but I know that it will. Where are you with your relationship with God? God is asking you right now, A relationship with God is not a relationship with a church. I'm sick of folk that are just church building. This has to be kingdom building. Where are you with your walk with God? You can come to church and have no relationship with God. If you want a genuine, authentic relationship with God, and you're not sure that you have one right now, every eye closed, just lift those hands. If you're not where you want to be, you want that genuine, authentic relationship with God, lift those hands. And if you are courageous and bold enough, after this prayer, to just meet me at the altar and say, Pastor Jackson.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services right here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services or want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place an order for a CD or a DVD of today's sermon titled, Things Will Work Out, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 080226. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 080226. August is Children and Youth Month at Bible Way, and the theme for the month is B-I-G, Being Intentionally Grateful, based on Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. All events and services are open to the youth of the church and the community. To see a complete list of activities for the month of August, please visit bwcar.org. Saturday, August 29th at 9 a.m. in the Youth Development Center, join the Wired Youth Ministry for Safe and Seeing Youth Mental Health Summit, a powerful day of conversations, resources, and support focused on youth mental health. This event is open to all middle and high school students and parents. To attend, please sign up online at bwcar.org. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.